Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. and you are listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will consider a resolution asking the state to accept the federal Medicaid expansion when it meets in regular session tonight. It will also consider asking Congress to adopt a realistic budget to sustain the operations of the Coast Guard. Alaska in 2010 was one of 27 states to join a lawsuit against the federal government following the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. The U.S. Supreme Court subsequently ruled that the law, also known as Obamacare, was constitutional, but allowed states to opt out of the provision that would expand Medicaid coverage for residents living in poverty. The Assembly resolution asks Governor Parnell and the legislature to fully consider the benefits to Alaskan communities through the expansion to Medicaid. The second resolution, calling for a full funding of the Coast Guard, is a reaction to the recent government shutdown. The resolution addresses the critical mission of the Coast Guard and states that essential personnel still face unprecedented funding cuts and growing demands that threaten their ability to operate and serve. Both resolutions are sponsored by Mayor Mim McConnell and Member Phyllis Hackett. Tonight's meeting begins at 6 p.m. Raven Radio will provide live coverage at that time. A work session on the city's stormwater management plan will precede the regular meeting at 5 p.m. It looks like a new king salmon hatchery project near Petersburg will be starting up next spring. The Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or SARA, is planning to release 200,000 smolt near the mouth of City Creek, about 3 miles from downtown Petersburg. SARA is hoping some extra rearing time in a temporary net pen will help more of the fish survive the ocean. Joe Vicknicki has more on that story.
Bill Gass is the nonprofit hatchery organization's production manager and says it's all systems go for the City Creek King Salmon release.
We have all the necessary permits in place, the permits for the net pens and the fish transport permits for the fish. The fish are on hand at Crystal Lake. Come mid-April, we will transport those fish out to the site. Rear them for approximately 6 weeks and release 200,000, we hope.
Crystal Lake is the SARA-run King and Coho hatchery facility on Mitkoff Island, about 18 miles south of Petersburg. Recent Crystal Lake King returns have been poor, and the proposal aims to improve the chances of ocean survival for some of the hatchery's annual Chinook release. The project was proposed by a local charter operator and the state's sportfish biologist in Petersburg as a possible boost to local catches. The Hatchery Association's Gas says any returns from the new net pen site will be a success.
It's always a hope from the production standpoint to see a good ocean, to see a good return. I've been asked what's a normal return, and you can almost say zero is normal since it happens. I mean, I don't expect a zero here, and zero is unusual, but I'm hopeful that you're going to see maybe 2 or 3% of these 200,000 fish survive and return as adults. I would consider that a success.
2 to 3% would mean an annual return of between 4,000 and 6,000 Chinook. Gass says the plan is to install a 40-foot by 40-foot saltwater net pen near the mouth of City Creek to hold the young salmon for about 6 weeks each year. That net pen will have a predator net set around it to keep sea lions from the holding space, and it will be anchored a couple hundred feet offshore and removed after the fish are released each year. The new net pen site has some potential challenges that other SARA programs don't, namely icebergs from LeConte Glacier, along with the sea lions and humpback whales that frequent the area. City Creek is a relatively small stream with natural runs of coho and pink salmon and a dam with one of the community's two water reservoirs. Gass says he does not know if many adult kings will make it into the creek itself.
Well, that's yet to be seen. I don't think they can really go very far, and the hope is that they will be utilized and harvested. You know, those that actually make it into the stream likely will not be able to travel up and spawn and reproduce successfully. But I suspect that if there's a decent return, there will be a pretty hard-targeted effort to catch as many of those fish as possible.
Fish for the program will be produced from the annual returns at Crystal Lake Hatchery, although weak numbers in recent years have required egg contributions from the Sitka-based Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, along with Douglas Island Pink and Chum in Juneau. All three of those organizations have king salmon programs produced from eggs originally taken at Andrews Creek on the Stikine River near Wrangell. The money for the new net pen rearing at City Creek comes from a grant of just over $100,000 from the Southeast Alaska Chinook Salmon Mitigation Program. GAS expects to hire a seasonal worker to help with the effort and anticipates the cost to the hatchery organization for the program will be about $15,000 a year. GAS notes that Petersburg residents are probably used to seeing the Crystal Lake tanker truck each spring moving hatchery kings eventually to other release sites that are closer to Wrangell and Ketchikan.
We have two transport vessels that move all of our fish around, and we'll load them at the dock with the tanker, and he'll just make that little 4 or 5 mile run down to City Creek and offload there. That'll be much easier than trying to move them off of the road system. So come next spring, when you see the tanker on the dock, some of those fish will be released in the Petersburg area for a change.
If it's successful, the new net pen release could have the first adult fish returning to City Creek in 2 years, with the bulk of the first year's release expected back in 2017. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
A Medicare scam that had been concentrated in the Anchorage area seems to be spreading to other parts of the state, including Southeast Alaska. Nyla Morgan from the Medicare Information Office in Anchorage says they got a report from someone in Ketchikan's Ward Cove area reporting the same scam. In this scam, the caller contacts people on Medicare and tells them that they need a new Medicare card because of regulations in the new Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare.
They don't need to get a new card because of the Affordable Care Act. There's other scammers out there that are telling people you need to get a brand new plan, but it's actually illegal for an agent to sell a plan to someone who has Medicare already.
Morgan says these scammers first start confirming information that anyone could easily find out, and then they ask for a Medicare card number or bank account information.
We tell people that Medicare will never contact them by phone, by coming to their door, or by email requesting personal information.
Morgan says the best response to one of these calls is to simply hang up. If the caller ID information is available, that would be helpful. But the most important thing is to not give out any information.
Some people, even though they know that they're not supposed to give out information, these people are so excellent at what they do that people will give it out anyway. So I often tell people to have a little script right by their phone that says, "I do not give out personal information over the phone."
Morgan also recommends that people screen their calls and not answer if they don't recognize the phone number. If someone is called by one of these suspected scammers, the Medicare Information Office wants to know about it. Call them at 1-800-478-6065. Governor Sean Parnell has ordered state flags lowered to half-staff Thursday in honor of the late former state legislator Elton Engstrom, Jr. Engstrom died last week at the age of 78. Funeral services are planned for Thursday in Juneau. Engstrom served one term each in the House and Senate beginning in 1965. He was the son of former legislators, according to a statement from his daughter, current state representative Kathy Munoz. And during his lifetime, he worked as a lawyer, fish buyer, and property manager. He also co-wrote a book. Flags are to be raised to full staff at sunset Thursday. And to clarify an item in a tribal candidate profile we aired during our broadcast on November 7th, we reported a statement by Ben Mayasato that, quote, "Council does support our subsistence users in regards to the commercial fishery. It's in the state constitution that subsistence users are supposed to come first," end quote. It is a common misunderstanding that the state constitution includes a clause about rural preference, meaning rural residents' needs would be met first over urban residents in times of scarcity. But this is not the case. Although a rural subsistence preference was added to state statute in 1986, it was later declared unconstitutional by the Alaska Supreme Court in 1989. There was an attempt to amend the state constitution in 1998 to include a rural subsistence preference, but it was rejected. The rural preference enjoyed by many Alaskans today is supported at the federal level by the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, and enforced by the state under a dual management system. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. It's 44 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. Rain is likely today with highs around 46 and east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Rain is also likely tonight with lows around 40 and east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Should be mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of rain, highs around 47 and southeast winds 10 miles per hour shifting to the southwest in the afternoon. Coming up on Morning Edition at 8:18, we will have our local interview with Shannon Hoagland for World Education Week, so stay tuned for that. Coming up at 6 p.m. tonight, there will be a meeting of Meth Free Sitka. Also at 6 p.m., a meeting of the food group, and also at 6 p.m., a Sitka Assembly meeting, and all those meetings are happening at Harrigan Centennial Hall. The Women's Book Group will discuss Beyond Belief at 7 p.m. tonight at the Pioneers Home Chapel. And the Writer's Read will be at 7:30 tonight, featuring students from Pacific High and Mount Edgecombe High School, and that will be at the Yaw Chapel. Coming up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. is the NSRA board meeting. That's also at 9 a.m. today, and that's at the NSRA conference room. The meeting is open to the public. Coming up at 10 a.m., there will be a free webinar on climate change in room 202 of the University of Alaska. Call 747-9440 for more information. We're going to rejoin National Public Radio. I'll be back with you at 8:18 with that local interview on World Education Week. Have a good morning.